Well, today what? It's today the 15th of December. Is that right? 14th. Today's the 14th, so we got how many days till Christmas now? 11 days. That is hard to believe. So amazing how quickly it creeps up on us. It seems like once you get past Thanksgiving, it just moves very, very quickly, and then we'll have another brand new year, Lord willing, and look forward to that as well. School is the last week for school this week, and boy, they made a big week this week. We've got 3 basketball games, Christmas program, school. I don't know how much schooling will be accomplished this week, but anyway, a lot for those who work in the school to put into 1 week, so do pray for them as they finish up this week, and I think Friday's the last day until January the 5th, is that right? So pretty good little break there for them as well. They're all, of course, excited about that and look forward to that this week. But do pray for those who work in the school. They do have a very busy week, and pray for them. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Pray for those who have needs. And, of course, a lot of needs have been mentioned this past week for prayer requests. Let's pray for those this morning as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this good day that we have to come and to assemble together and to be in this place today. We thank you for our church, Lord. We thank you for our church family. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor this morning. We thank you for your many blessings that you have shed on our life in this place here that we meet today. We thank you, Lord, for the church. We pray for the many ministries of our church this morning and the many needs that our church may have. We just pray, Lord, that you would help supply, give strength. And, Lord, I pray that you would just bless this week throughout the ministries of our church this week. We pray, Lord, for those who have prayer requests, Lord. I know there are many in our church that have needs or know of someone who has a need, and we pray that you would help supply those needs today. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick today, that you would heal them. We also, Lord, want to make mention of people in our church who have asked us to pray for maybe a lost loved one, maybe someone that they know of that is lost that needs to be saved. And we do, Lord, want to pray especially for them today, that you would help those that are lost to see their need of salvation. Lord, help us to use this time of the year as we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, may we use this time of the year to share the gospel with others. And Lord, may we use that as an opportunity maybe to be one that shares the gospel to those who do not know you as their Savior. And I pray that you would bless during this time of the year. Lord, we thank you for the birth of our Savior. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for salvation itself. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be saved this morning, to be in church, and we just thank you for what we have today. We also, Lord, want to pray for our country. Lord, our country is in need of, Lord, a spiritual awakening, and Lord, our country just seems to weekly and monthly and yearly to drift a little further away from you, and God, we pray that you would send revival to our country, and Lord, we're a very needy country, and we pray for that this morning as well. We pray for Brother Richardson as he preaches today, Lord. We pray that you would anoint him from on high. We pray that you would guide, lead, and direct him and the message today and tonight. Lord, help us to, Lord, not only just say we came to church, but Lord, help us to open up our hearts and minds to all that you have for us today. May we gain, may we learn, may we grow in your will today. We pray now that you bless our time together and our Sunday school time. We pray for, as we take and open up your word, may you bless, may you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Psalms chapter number 86 this morning. Psalms chapter number 86 is our chapter for today. We've been studying now for many, many weeks out of the book of Psalms. We are going to look at a psalm today that is written by David. David writes many, many of the psalms. We have made mention of him, and basically it gives you the opportunity to look into the life of David, into the mind of David, and also into the heart of David. We're going to find here in this chapter that David is yet again in need of God working in his life. He was one that had enemies often, and in fact most of his life was running or fleeing or even battling against the enemies that would rise up against him. And he's going to mention in this psalm here that there is an enemy that is after him. So he is actually praying to God, speaking to God, and asking God for help in time of need. So as we read this psalm and as we get into our lesson this morning, we can all relate to David because we're all a needy people. Everybody has needs. Everybody has a prayer request or something they pray for or ask God for help in. Sometimes it seems like some may have more of a severe need than maybe we do. But I would venture out this morning in saying that there's not probably anybody here this morning that doesn't have some type of need. And David here is going to share some needs with God. You're going to find a little bit of how David's prayer life was designed. You would find in this prayer life of David, he had certain habits in his prayer life. And we all have habits in our prayer life. And there's nothing wrong with having habits. Sometimes we have to be careful that we don't get in a rut in our prayer life to the point where it's just vain repetitions, as the Bible describes. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can easily drift off into that in our prayer life. But there's nothing wrong with having certain habits or traits in our prayer life. And it's just natural. Everybody's different. Everybody looks at their life differently. Everybody maybe prays a little bit differently to some degree. And you're going to find here that David was one that would always speak of the blessings of God. And also you're going to kind of get an idea of how David views God when he meets God in prayer. And very interesting here, some of the words that David is going to use to describe God and some of the attributes of God and how that David is a recipient of many blessings from God. And he often makes note of that in his prayer life. He always mentions a little bit of how good God has been to him. And that ought to be a part of our prayer life. We ought to have a habit of in our prayer life of praising God for who God is in our life. And so we get into the book of Psalms here. 86 is the chapter. We'll begin reading here in verse number 1. David says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." So he is requesting of God for God to hear his prayer. He mentions also in the first verse describing himself as poor and as a needy person. And we need to acknowledge this morning that we're all a needy people this morning. We need God. We need God's help. We need the blessings of God in our life. And so David is asking of God for God to give him his ear, and he describes his condition and his position here before God, and that is poor and needy. It's good to go to God with a humble spirit. It's good to go to God with a humble heart and acknowledging of who we are. We are poor this morning. We are needy this morning. We need God's ear. Now, David was one that he often went to God, and we find that he was often in life in what we would call a mess in life and needing God to help deliver him and protect him, and that's going to be very so here in our chapter this morning. But we need to acknowledge this morning and need to make sure that we look into our own prayer life and take a good look at our prayer life to find out how do we address God. We need to be honest before God. And David was being as honest as he possibly could here, that he was poor, that he was needy, and he needed God to listen to his prayer that day. He goes on in verse number 2, and he says, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." So he's going to ask God to protect him, to help him to overcome the enemies that were hunting him and were after him. And so he goes on in verse number 3 and he says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." So we find also here in verse number 3 that he's asking God for mercy in his life. And it's something that we should all be asking God for. We need mercy. And I'm glad this morning that God is a merciful God. my soul this morning, the mercy of God. And we could stop right there and go into an in-depth study on the mercy of God and trying to explain with human mind and a human vocabulary of trying to describe the mercy of God. And I don't know if there's a man alive that could actually describe the mercy of God. I'm just glad this morning that He is merciful. And I'm glad this morning that we serve a loving God who loves us, who wants the very best for us, that also shows mercy unto us when we are a needy people. And we need mercy. And we find here that David begs or asks of mercy from God. We also find here that he makes note here that he cries unto thee daily in verse number 3. David was someone who prayed on a daily basis. David had a prayer life. Now, it's easy to look at the life of David and think to yourself, well, if I were in the shoes of David, no doubt I would be praying a lot because he had enemies that were hunting him, trying to kill him, trying to destroy him. And I'm sure that if we had someone that was trying to kill us on a daily basis, we would probably pray a little more. You know, we often make comment that it's sad that we pray more when we're sick than when we're healthy. We pray more when we have, you know, for instance, we often make comment that, boy, when you're lying flat on your back, it's easy to look up to God. But, you know, we'll to look up to God whether we're lying on our back or not. We'll to be spending time with God whether we're healthy or sick. And often, though, we find ourselves when tragedy comes, when a heartache comes, when sickness comes, when something devastating happens in life, it usually would drive us to pray more than we normally would. Now, that's just being human this morning, and it's understandable this morning, but we must not neglect our daily prayer life. Now, David was one that would often pray, but he had a habit of prayer. He prayed daily. So when the need arose in the life of David, it wasn't an emergency case where he had to hurry up and run to God. He was someone that had a habit of going to God daily anyway. And I think that's very, very key here. One of the reasons I believe that David was so used of God was primarily, I believe, in a lot of ways, was because of his prayer life. He had a relationship with God. God was not a stranger to David. We find here that he makes note in verse number 3 that I cry unto thee daily. We need to have a daily prayer life. We need to have a daily time where we spend a little time with God in prayer. And I shouldn't use the word little. We could all probably spend a lot more time in prayer with God. But he acknowledges here that he needs mercy in verse number 3, and he asked God to be merciful unto him. Why is it that David needed mercy? Because David was not a perfect individual. David had problems. David had sin. David had shortcomings in life, and he needed mercy from God just like we need mercy from God. And so he begs God and asks God here for mercy in his life and acknowledges that he prays daily in verse number 3. Verse number 4, rejoice thy soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. So we find here a little bit of the attributes of David in his prayer life and how that he does his very best to reveal his soul unto God. He was what we would call a very transparent individual. He was very honest before God. He was very open before God. Nothing was hidden between David and God. He didn't try to paint himself as someone special or someone very spiritual. In fact, he painted himself before God as someone who was very needful, who somebody that was very poor, someone that needed mercy from God. And that is how he presents himself before God when he goes to God in prayer. He was not prideful. He was not boastful. He was not someone who tried to make himself out to be something that he was not. He was just very honest before God. And I think that's very, very key that we present ourselves before God and become very honest before God. God knows us. Nothing is hidden before God. And so you'll find here as he starts to describe himself in verse number 4 as a servant unto God. He didn't describe himself as a king. He didn't describe himself as a great warrior. He didn't describe himself as someone who was very smart. David presented himself as a servant before God. And that's how we ought to come before God. We need to present ourselves as a servant to God. That's what we are. We are servants unto God today. He goes on in verse number 5, "For thou, Lord, art good." Now we could stop right there, and you're just finding here how that David views God. He views God as someone who is good, and God is good. Even when bad things happen, God is good. Even when tragedy, heartbreak, disappointments come in life, God is good. Now, David here is not high on the mountaintop. You're going to find here David is a little bit in the valley here in this prayer because he is very needy and he's praying and asking God for help because he has enemies that are after him. He's a little bit discouraged to some point. He's a little bit, in some ways, he's a little bit down, even though he honestly believes that God can deliver him. And he puts his faith and his trust in God to preserve him and to protect him here. But we find here that he mentions here in verse number 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Very interesting here how that David's view is of God was that God was always ready to forgive him. And by the way, this morning, God is ready to forgive us. See, what do you mean? He's ready. When it comes to forgiveness, the only reason maybe you don't have forgiveness is because you haven't asked for it. That's the only reason this morning that you could be unforgiven this morning, because God is always ready to forgive. We find here that he mentions of God in verse number 5, and you can see how that when David goes before God in his prayer life, what does he do? He presents himself. Number one, he asks God, "Please listen, hear my prayers." He begins in verse number 1. You'll find that that he uses a lot of different words to describe who he is and how that he's needy and he's poor. He's in need of mercy. And then he describes God as someone that is good and ready to forgive, he says here. Verse number 5, he goes on, "And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Now, you want to circle or kind of highlight or mark that verse, because that verse is available to you just like it is David. May I say this morning that the forgiveness that God was ready to give David, the same forgiveness is ready to be given unto you as well. God is ready to forgive us. All we have to do, and he goes on in verse number 5, and he talks about how that the mercy of God, which he's already asked for in verse number 3, but in verse number 5, he says the mercy of God is plenteous. God's mercy doesn't run out. You see, I'm afraid sometimes we feel like we've stretched God to the limit on mercy and forgiveness when there are no limits to the mercy of God. There's no ending to the mercy of God. God's forgiveness never runs out. You can never go to the point where God can't no longer forgive you. God is ready to forgive you. And David tells you how you get that forgiveness. He says at the end of verse number 5, "To all them that call upon thee." It is all based and hinged on you. Forgiveness is available. Mercy is available. And all it requires is you going to God and calling upon God and asking God for forgiveness and mercy. You see, David knew a lot about forgiveness. David knew a lot about mercy. There were many times in the life of David where David had to go before God to ask for mercy and for forgiveness. And we find that yet once again that he's asking for that here, even in verse number 5. Verse number 6, "Give ear." So he asks once again, "God, please listen, hear my prayer." In verse number 6, "O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication." So once again in verse number 6, he's begging God to listen to this request that he has in verse number 6. Verse number 7, "In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." And David knew a lot about trouble. He mentions here that when he enters into trouble in life, David is acknowledging here he always knows where to go. He always runs to God. because God is the one that's going to deliver him. And it's God that has the mercy, it's God that has the forgiveness, and it's God that has the answers, it's God that has the help. And David knew where his help came from. And we find here that he says, I will call upon thee. And David had assurance in verse number 7, for thou wilt answer me. David was assured that God would answer his prayer. Now, I want to stop right here for just a second before we proceed on. And this is something that I was kind of looking at in this morning, and even last night a little bit on this one little phrase here, thou wilt answer me. Let me ask you this morning, are you assured this morning that God will answer you? David just felt like, I know God's going to answer. And you know, when it comes to prayer, why is it sometimes that we pray, but yet we don't have the assurance that God's going to answer that prayer? You see, I honestly believe this morning that our walk with God and our prayer life ought to be in such a ray of life that we go to God in prayer and we know that God wants us to come to Him in prayer. We know according to Scripture that God wants us to bring all of our cares and give it to Him. But do we walk away from our prayer life knowing God's going to answer? If we have no faith that God's going to answer our prayers, then why pray? David wasn't wasting his time. David knew. David's been here before. David's crossed this bridge before in life. David knew what it was like to have enemies after him and to be hunted like a wild animal. In fact, a lot of his life he lived that way, and God always came through and answered his prayer. But now you've got to understand here that David has a close walk with God. He has a relationship with God. God was no stranger to David, and David was no stranger to God. In fact, they met daily in prayer. We find a little bit of the inside of how David viewed himself, how that David viewed God. He comes to God with a prayer request here, and we find here that he was assured in verse number 7 that God was going to answer his prayer. I'm going to be honest this morning. I haven't always left my prayer before God assured that God's going to answer. There have been times that maybe praying for a particular need and walking away and saying, I hope God answers. Because lacking in faith will always hinder your prayer life. And call it what you will this morning, but there have been times that maybe the lack of faith, lack of strength spiritually, and yet walk away hoping and wondering, is God going to answer? When David walked away from his prayer life assured that God was going to answer. You see, David, his faith was very strong in God. Now we can easily look at David's life and say, yeah, but if I were in David's shoes, I'd pray a whole lot more. If I was running from a life and if I had someone actually trying to murder me every day, it'd make me pray a whole lot more. And yet, by the way, if I were in the shoes of David, if I had all that David had, if I were able to witness all that David witnessed with God's hand in his life, it would make me a lot more assured in God. But listen, dear friend, God is no respecter of persons this morning. And everything that God's done for David, God can do for us. But it's going to take faith and a walk with God. You see, I'm afraid sometimes our prayer life is so shallow sometimes, and it's always designed to where it's only when we have a need that we run to God for an emergency case. You know, God should not be an emergency for us. I'm afraid that our prayer life sometimes, it's always for an emergency because, boy, all of a sudden we find out, I've got a big need, I better run to God. When it ought to be that we walk with God daily and we cry out to God daily, as David describes here, to where when we do go to God for a need, it doesn't surprise God. See, David was one that spent time with God every day. And David would seek the mercy of God daily. David was one that needed forgiveness daily from God. And if we're honest this morning, we all need forgiveness daily from God. And we need the mercy of God in our life. And we got to move on, but we find here, and I just want to make note here, that in verse number 7, David, in his prayer life, he had assurance. He just believed that God was going to answer. And that challenges me in my own prayer life to be able to have such a relationship with God that where I can go to God in prayer and know that God will give an answer. Now, by the way, may I throw this back in, remind us this morning, when I say that God will answer us, it doesn't mean that God is always going to say yes. I'm afraid sometimes we think God is a yes God. God's not a yes God. God is a just God. And sometimes the answer is no. We don't like to be told that, but sometimes in our prayer life, we pray for something and pray for something, and God says no. And by the way, when God says no, we ought to quit praying about it. It's almost like everybody could testify this morning about children. Children, when they are young, they tend to beg for something. They'll cry, throw a fit, whatever you want to call it in life, and you tell them no. And then another minute goes by, they come back wanting the same thing. And then 5 minutes go by, they come back wanting the same thing. And you keep saying, no, no, no. And then finally you get mad, saying, I've already told you once, twice, three, five times, no, and don't come to me about it again. You know, I'm afraid sometimes maybe God looks at us that way sometimes. Sometimes we've got to be willing to accept the answer from God, and sometimes the answer from God is no. It's not always no. A lot of times it is maybe even yes in life. But David knew God would answer. Let's move on here. Verse number 8. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any words like unto thy works. I'm sorry, not words, but works. Verse number 8 says, neither are there any works like unto thy works. So we find here, David once again giving you a little insight of how he views God. He mentions here that there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are their works like unto thy works. He's bragging on God. He's revealing his heart. He's revealing his mind, how he views God, what he thinks about God, his condition of his heart towards God. And basically, as he mentions here, there is none like unto thee. And may I remind us today, there is none like unto our God. You'll find in verse number 8, the first little god is mentioned. It's a small g, talking about gods, talking about the gods of the world. And may I say this morning, there are a lot of gods present in our world. But there's none like unto our God. Verse number 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Talking about the nations of the world. By the way, there is coming a day when, the Bible tells us there's coming a day where every knee is going to bow before God. And the Bible tells us that every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. That means that everybody that's on planet Earth that has been, that is, and will be, will all have an encounter where they will bow before God and they will confess that He is God. These atheists and the movements that they have, I think Brother R. mentioned the other day a little bit about, Brother Richardson mentioned a little bit about some of the billboards that the atheists are putting up and mocking Christmas and mocking God. Do you realize there's coming a day when they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? And they're going to get on their knees and it will come out of their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee. Let me move on past 9. We're a little ahead here, but let's go to verse number 10. He says, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. We serve a great God. David acknowledges that God is great and does wondrous things. The word wondrous is an interesting word here in how that David is describing God. And basically what David is saying here is, there are times when God does things that man cannot describe. Wondrous things. Things that will make you wonder, how did that happen? And may I say this morning, it's God. We've all probably had times in life where we've kind of made the comment, whoa, how in the world did that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. It happens by God. And David even acknowledges there are things that have happened that he cannot explain. They make him wonder. They're wondrous things that God has done. He can't describe it. He doesn't know how it happened. He doesn't know how it all worked out. But God is great. And may I say this morning as well that God wants to do some great things for us. You heard the old statement, I think even there was a movie even put out, we watched it the other night a little bit, God is not dead. And it's very true that even today God is not dead. God wants to do great things. God wants to take us and do some wondrous things, some things that we can't describe and we can't put our finger on it. We can't tell you how it happened. But I mean, all we can say is God is great. And this is the prayer life of David. David's prayer life tends to be a little different than ours. In fact, I went back and I was reading again this chapter this morning, and I find that David's requesting something in this chapter, but it's amazing. You have to look for it because it's so hidden behind all the praise that David gives unto God. Whereas sometimes I find it to be true in my life and in my prayer life is so consumed with asking that you can't hardly find the praise. Where David is the direct opposite. His prayer life is so consumed with acknowledging who God is and praising God for who He is and praising God for what He has done that you have to kind of go back and read a little bit to find out what is it David is requesting in the chapter. Because his prayer life is about 99% praise, 1% request. Probably a lot like our prayer life, right? Where so often we find that our prayer life is consumed with asking instead of giving. And you'll find in this prayer, and that's what this chapter is, it is a prayer of David that was put into a psalm, and you're going to find that David is a giver in his prayer life. He is giving of praise. He's a giving of acknowledgement of who God is. He's humble before God. He's honest before God. And so up to this point, it's hard to find out, well, what is it that David needs? I mean, he's so consumed with praising God. You could look at it different ways. Some could look at this and think, well, David's just trying to butter God up. You know what that is, right? It's when, you know, kids try to butter you up because they want something. And you know when they're acting a certain way and they're buttering you up, you know there's a request coming somewhere. We find here that he continues on. Verse number 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in the truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Verse number 12, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. So he's talking about, he's just, he gets into his prayer life. He starts off by acknowledging that he's needy, he's poor, he needs God. God, please hear, give me your ear. I've got a great need. And I mean, we've gone through 12 verses and we can't even really find out what it is David needs. And I don't know, we could even maybe say this, maybe David begins to praise God for his goodness in his life, and he gets so sidetracked with the praise that he almost tends to forget what he needs. We find that David's life, for whatever it's worth, and David had his faults in life, and David made some huge, huge mistakes in his life. David has made so many mistakes, I don't know, humanly speaking, it would almost be hard to forgive him, humanly speaking. Let's not forget here who David is. David was a selfish individual. He was someone who committed adultery. He actually had a woman's wife murdered. It's not a very good resume. But David was also a man with a very soft heart that admitted his wrong, that admitted his sin, and confessed his sin before God and received forgiveness from God. So David was a man that knew a whole lot about mercy and forgiveness. And David gets into this prayer here in verse number, we're all the way down to verse number 12, and we find that through the entire chapter, it's hard to find out. We realize he does mention that he's got some trouble in verse number 7, that he's going to call on God, and he knows God's going to answer him, but what is it you need, David? Because all you've done the whole chapter thus far is just praise God and acknowledge who God is in life. And we ought to take note this morning of how our prayer life ought to be designed a little bit more like David's, where we spend a lot more time in prayer praising than asking. Say what you want to, but David gets his prayers answered. Maybe David knew a little something about how to get your prayers answered. I read a book several years ago by a person that the title of the book was How to Get Your Prayers Answered. Now, what person wouldn't want to get your prayers answered? I mean, if we're not going to get them answered, why pray? Why ask? It's amazing what you can learn through God's Word about people that had their prayers answered, and what was it about them that caused God to answer their prayers. And I think that some of what we've just mentioned here, you can understand a little bit of why David's getting his prayers answered, because David's prayer life was a little bit different than everybody else's prayer life. Look at verse number 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. He praises God and talks about the greatness of the mercy of God. In verse number 13, he says, toward me. David speaking by experience. He was experienced in receiving the mercies of God. So we find that he continues on in this prayer of just praising God for all that he is. Verse number 14, you're going to find out a little bit of what he needs. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. So you finally get to verse 14 and you find out of what David needs. David has got enemies. He has those that have risen up against him. He has violent men that have sought after his soul, which means there are violent men that are trying to kill him, trying to yet once again hunt him down. And we go through the first 13 verses and we finally get into what David is actually going to God for. It takes David that long to get to the point or the request or the need that he has that he's bringing to God, because he spends all of his prayer time here primarily in praising God for who God is. Verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. You find that he mentions in verse 15 that he's gracious, that he's long-suffering. He's plenteous in mercy and truth. Verse 15 is a verse just jam-packed of how David views God. So we've read 15 verses out of 17 for the chapter. Very, very, very little is found in this chapter of David requesting of God. As I read this chapter, it convicts me of realizing of probably how little I praise God. If I were in David's shoes, I'm going to be honest with you, if I had people, violent people after me, had mobs of people trying to hunt me down, and when I went to God in prayer, I'd get to the need real quick. It wouldn't take me about two sentences, and I'd already be in what I need from God. God, I need you to help. I need you to take care of my enemies. I need you to protect me. And David does that throughout this chapter, but it's amazing how it's hard to find. See, I think when David went to God in prayer that it was a peace that came to David. I think David enjoyed praying. I think that David felt secure in his prayer life. I think that that when David went to God in prayer, that he felt like he escaped from all of his problems. And David just enjoyed going to God and just bragging on who God is. Finally, in verse 14, we find out what it is he needs. Immediately after verse 14, he switches gears in verse 15 and says, "But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion." And I'm glad this morning God is a God full of compassion. He's gracious, He's long-suffering, He's plenteous in mercy and truth. Verse 16, "O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token of good for good, that they which hate me may see it." David ends out his prayer here. You'll find that the last two words of verse 17, he refers to God as someone who comforted me. I think David felt more comfort in his prayer life than anything anybody could ever give him. It's interesting, isn't it? Entire chapter, 17 verses. It is a prayer of David put into a psalm unto God. You get a lot of insight here. Understanding of the mind of David, the heart of David. How David's prayer life was designed. How David's prayer life was structured on a daily basis. And yet through all of this, he basically asks God for mercy. He acknowledges his problem in verse number 14. Verse 15, he switches gears once again, going back to describing who God is. And I believe that David had complete assurance God was much bigger and greater than any violent person that was after him. In verse 16, he asks for mercy once again, and he asks for strength. And he wanted his life, as we find in verse number 17, he wanted that strength and help that he needed from God, but he wanted it for a purpose and for a reason, and you find it in the last verse. Because he wanted to be able to walk before mankind, and basically what he's asking for is that mankind can see God in his life. David wanted others to see it. David knew everything about the presence of God and the power of God and the blessing of God, but David wanted mankind, he wanted his very enemies to see the hand of God in his life. And I'm done and I'm through here this morning, but as I look at this prayer of David, I look at how different it is probably from the way that I would pray. I told you right off a few moments ago that I it wouldn't take me very long to get to what I needed from God because I had enemies after me trying to destroy me. And it would be easy in our prayer life to pray and ask God to destroy our enemies. Whereas David wanted the enemies to see the hand of God in his life. David was compassionate even towards his enemies. And the entire chapter is consumed with praise and acknowledgement of the goodness of God. Very, very little request here. Even though he had a great, great need. I mean, put yourself in the position of David. I mean, people are trying to kill you. Your life could easily be taken in a matter of seconds. And yet David goes to God requesting, but it's so hard to find the request that David even has in the chapter because it is completely consumed with praise unto God. In order to teach us something this morning, there is a key element here when it comes to just praising God for who God is. Let's not be a people of just always a asking people, but let's also be a people of praising unto God for all that He's done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for this chapter. We thank You, Lord, for the insight that we have here in the life of David, into the prayer life of David. Help us to